Blog Talk Radio.
Black Joy.
You are listening to the E.O. Moore Journal on the Justice Channel Network. I am Ernest Moore, the creator, producer, and host of the E.O. Moore Journal.
Joy is the will. It's the dimple that has endured. A dance so deep in a dark cheek. A wound without a scar, without a trace.
And I am live. Today is September the 3rd in the year 2023. It's hard to believe another month has just shot by. Time really goes by quickly when you're being traumatized by the court. I am really getting tired of doing these shows about this probate court corruption. I would like to cover other topics and actually become like the network radio host that cover all of the big stories on a daily basis. But I have this problem with this a probate case that's been going on since 2004. Now, that is way too long, especially in consideration of the fact that the people involved in my case have committed all kinds of felony crimes and should have been in jail a long time ago. But before I go into topic for today, which is my trial in the Los Angeles Superior Court's Probate Department 11 and the legal abuse syndrome, which I am actually suffering from now and have been suffering from for a long time. But I would like to cover some of the relevant big stories that are going on right now. One of them is about the former President Donald Trump. And his story actually is related to mine because he is getting punked by the courts all across this country. I remember when Trump first got elected, and I did vote for Trump. In fact, that was the first time I've ever voted for a Republican. And at that time, I kept telling myself, how could anything good come out of the Republican Party? I knew Jamil Shah. And if you remember when Trump was campaigning for president for the first time, he ran into Jamil Shah over here in Los Angeles because Jamil Shah actually saw his son right after he'd been shot by an illegal alien just because he was black. And it was big news here in Los Angeles for a little while. Trump picked up on Jamil Shah and was actually using him for his campaign. He got to know Trump personally. He was traveling around with Trump. He was on Trump's airplane, et cetera, et cetera. Jamil Shah had a show on Blog Talk Radio for a long time. I don't know if he's still doing it. Now, I mentioned that to mention the fact that I had given Jamil Shah a copy of my proposal to change the voting system. And that's on my website, the Justice Channel website, in one of my blogs. I call it the true vote system because I knew at that time that Trump would need to to figure out how these elections are being rigged. Even Trump at that time was saying that they were all rigged. At this point, I can't really say, I don't want to say the elections are rigged because of what they're doing to Trump. I can say that there is some, that a reasonable person would have doubt about these elections because of the circumstantial evidence. And there is extensive circumstantial evidence that things just don't add up in these elections, especially the one where Biden was elected. Now, who would vote for Biden? He's senile. He knew that before this last election. He's senile. He's a criminal. I could say, well, let's put it this way. I don't want to say that because they might come and put me in jail. I would say there's extensive evidence of criminal activity by his son that may be related to Biden. But during the campaign, before Biden got elected, he disclosed that he was responsible for the jail pipeline system against Black Americans. So he disclosed that he's a racist and that he perpetrated a systemic attack on Black Americans with some other senators whose names I don't think have really been brought up anyplace. And they're not talking about it now. And how come he doesn't have to go to jail for that? And just because he walked across the Petras Bridge doesn't mean nothing to me with a bunch of church Toms and Uncle Tom politicians doesn't mean nothing to me. They're still letting foreigners flood in across the borders, the southern borders, and through the airports to flood into this country to run Black Americans out of major cities. So I don't know why anybody would vote for Biden. It just doesn't add up. To go back to the point I'm trying to make is that I tried to warn Trump way back then. I don't know if Jamil Shah ever gave him my proposal. He said he was. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. The other thing, now over the years, I was actually donating money to the Republican Party. I tried to get active with the local assemblies here in California. And I was telling them that they need to reform the courts. And we were actually trying to get to Trump to tell him that he needs to reform the courts. We couldn't ever get an audience with Trump. And when I would go to the National Republican Party and tell them these things, they would say, oh, yeah, we agree. Why don't you give us some more money? And they never took any action on it or never actually did any type of investigation or asked me to give them more evidence. So to make a long story short, I was trying to tell Trump that he needs to change the voting system and he needs to reform the courts. And he didn't do that. And now they're jacking him all across the country. He especially did not do anything for California and California Black Americans. And California's so jacked up now. It's just, the state is being run by criminals. And the courts are just a stronghold for criminals that are perpetrating crimes under the color of authority. I would say that they are a racketeer-influenced corrupt organization, which is in violation of the RICO statute. And when it involves judges, then it's under the color of authority. And that's what they're doing in my probate case now. It's nothing but a racket. And I've got plenty of evidence to back it up. I have to be careful about what I say, because in my trial, they have used one of my past podcasts to try to discredit me and to make me look bad. But the main flaw with that is that everything I was reporting on is true. I was trying to expose the actions of a corrupt judge in Los Angeles Superior Court's Probate Department 11. That's Judge Anna Maria Luna. And they brought that up at the last trial. I actually played part of my podcast, which didn't have anything to do with the focus of the trial that I've been railroaded into. It was irrelevant, and the judge shouldn't have allowed that evidence, but he did. And basically he just started retaliating against me once he saw that I'm trying to expose the corruption that's going on in the probate courts. They were acting like, the opposing attorneys acted like, oh, they were going to take me out in handcuffs. But they didn't. I haven't heard anything from them since then about this particular podcast. And I'm not going to remove that podcast because it has criminal evidence against one of the judges in my probate court case. So we are sitting here with, and we see on national TV how they are framing Trump up left and right with false charges or trumped up charges, excuse the pun, against him, and he might possibly go to jail, which shows the courts can rig up a jury. And now they've been doing this to Black Americans for over 100 years, so that was the main flaw of the Trump administration, if you ask me. Trump is not a leader. Trump is a follower. And he's following these Bushites, these skull and bones Republicans that just took him for a ride. And he's still kissing up to them. And they are just taking him for a ride. I can see that now. By the way he talks and his actions, he's following their advice. And they're just leading him into a hole. I'm pretty sure Trump is going to go to jail. And I don't actually see why he's trying to run for president. I don't see why any of the Republicans are running for president. They're not going to win. And I would say it's not because of what American citizens want. And I would say that circumstantial evidence points to the fact that most Americans don't want to vote for Biden. So how could he possibly win, even though I think he is going to win? So that shows that there's something wrong there. Trump's situation also shows how corrupt the judicial system is all across this country. It's corrupt from the top all the way down, from the Supreme Court. And Trump should have seen that. They were spitting right, the Supreme Court was spitting right in his face before he even left office. And all he did was say, they don't like me. I would say Trump should have seen this coming. They're trying to take him out any kind of way they can. And if I were him, actually, I would have resigned. If I couldn't get people in there to enforce the law to protect the president and the American people, I would have resigned and said that this country is totally corrupt. And you're not going to make this country great again if the federal government is totally corrupt. There's no way around that. And the Republican Party's not doing anything. Republican Party didn't do anything for California. Republican Party's not really doing anything to protect Trump at this point. So the Republican Party is a joke. And as a result, that's why I'm sitting here going through all this stuff with this probate court. And it just goes on and on and on. I am hoping to expose this corruption in the Los Angeles Superior Courts to prevent others from going through what I've gone through since 2004. Again, I say stay out of the probate courts. Families have to figure out how to work it out among themselves. Don't go into probate court thinking you're going to get justice. All you get is just us. And some people will win and some people will lose, but the house always wins. Now, to go to my probate trial, which is a good example, and the legal abuse syndrome, which I have been suffering from for years, this probate trial that I'm in now is from a lawsuit that my sister filed against me for what they call apportionment. Which she is basically saying, well, I should have to pay for all the damages to the trust because I've been filing all of these legal actions to try to get relief from what she has stolen since 2004. And this includes felony embezzlements, real estate fraud, mortgage fraud, perjuries, felony elder abuse, and neglect. But they're saying, well, since the court hasn't done anything about it yet and keeps blocking everything I try to do to get damages, to get compensation for the damages and breaches of trust that have been going on since 2004, I should have to pay for it. That's how insane this is. And this judge that's on this case now should have seen that at the beginning. In fact, I had filed a motion for judgment on the pleadings and provided enough evidence that this is nothing but malicious prosecution. But he's allowed it to go on anyway. Now, he did say that motion was defective. I could argue that, but I'm going to file it again to meet the so-called criteria. So this trial has been going on since about a month now. It started like July 31st. It was scheduled to have 4 consecutive days, but the judge has broken it up to like one day a week. during the first week, I think it was the second day of trial, or maybe the third day of trial, I had was experiencing extreme anxiety and depression, and I couldn't sleep, and I had compulsive thoughts, I think I could classify it as that. But the thoughts were running over and over again. It was fueled by fear and anger because I felt hopeless and there was no way to defend this assault on me by the court. So I asked for a ADA advocate, which they granted. So maybe that's why he broke the trial up into like one trial hearing per week or something like that. And I did feel the effects of legal abuse syndrome. Now, I contacted my mental health therapist, and I was also trying to contact to get medications also from my medical clinic. It's been hard to get in touch with my therapist. And I did have some medications left for sleep, which was hydroxyzine. So I started medicating myself with hydroxyzine. And it actually helped quite a bit. It helped to calm me down so that I could sleep and function better during the day. This is another reason why I want to do research. I am a marriage and family therapist in California. I'm not licensed yet. That's another long story. The mental health field in California is just jacked up. And that started with Reagan and Bush back in the 80s. That's why you see all these whack jobs running around the streets, living on the streets in tents, urinating and defecating in the streets. And they're going around killing people left and right. That's due in part to the destruction of the mental health system in California. California used to have the primo mental health state. Now it's a joke. Well, it's a nightmare. Let's put it that way. So I continued on with the trial. And basically, I should have this document. It's hard to believe the level of corruption that's been going on in this court. That's why I had actually published a call for monitors on my website. Because I wanted people to see this. I wanted people to witness this absolute corruption that's going on. It's almost hard to believe. The attorneys, the opposing attorneys, now, my sister's attorney is supposed to be an opposing attorney. He lies in every single hearing we've had. I think we've had about five or six trial hearings so far. He's lied every single one of them, and I've called him out for that. The attorneys for the so-called court-appointed trustee, that's Jeffrey Siegel, lied when I interrogated him under oath, or he was evasive, giving false and misleading statements. The judge hasn't done nothing about that. And if the court-appointed trustee is lying or is evasive in his answers. And I've had actually extensive examination of him on the witness stand under oath. Now, the judge sees what's going on by now. He should have shut this trial down before this time, but he allows it to continue. And the last trial date on August 28th, 2023 was an absolute circus. And the judge apparently was decided he's going to retaliate against me because they played a part of a podcast report that I did about one of the trials that I had from another corrupt judge, probate judge. So he's lying to protect them. And I brought in some more witnesses. I had one witness there that is a victim of Jeffrey Siegel ready to testify. He wouldn't let her testify. I had another one that called in, was on a remote. And actually, I had subpoenaed a witness, and I won't say what she was or how she was related to this case, but she was a material witness. Let's put it that way. I don't want to say what she has to testify to at this point because I'm sure they're listening to my podcast now, probably including the judge. But I had subpoenaed her. She was ready to testify. I had another witness, which was actually a former court-appointed trustee that was supposed to testify. Judge Rosenblum stopped all of the trial proceedings, wouldn't let anybody else testify, including my sister, who was the plaintiff in this case, and just shut the whole thing down and said, well, the rest will all be by in writing. So we have to do our closing arguments in writing and some other things. And eventually he's going to give a verdict. Now, during this trial, I brought up the issue about a illegal mortgage, which was on the apartment building that I inherited. And I was questioning or interrogating this so-called court-appointed trustee. Why did he clear that loan? He got a loan from the court, which was approved by the court. And the court approved him to clear the illegal mortgage that was on the apartment buildings that my sister had taken out and did not get authorization for from the court and hasn't disclosed what she's done with the funds yet. Now this court-appointed trustee, Jeffrey Siegel, was appointed back in 2015. So he says, well, the court authorized me to clear that loan, so I didn't question anything about it being illegal or anything. I had questioned him to ask, well, did you know that that was an illegal loan? Because I had filed I objected to that mortgage that he took out extensively at the time that happened. This was under Judge Green, Leslie Green, I believe it was. And he said, well, I didn't look to see if it was illegal or anything, or if there was. And I asked him, was there any evidence that my sister got court authorization to take out this loan? At the time, the apartment buildings were in the trust. He said, well, the court approved it, and so I didn't look in to see whether it was legal or not. So, and they keep saying that all along in this trial, well, if the judge approves an illegal action, it must be legal. And essentially that's what Judge Rosenblum is saying. And he kept blocking that. He kept saying there's no evidence that there was any illegal mortgages. And when we first started the trial, I had the trustee's attorney read his objections to my brother's final accounting that they used to remove him as trustee and to appoint this court-appointed criminal, Jeffrey Siegel. And they said that they wanted surcharges against him for these illegal mortgages. The judge heard that. The judge read that. It was in my motion for judgment on the pleadings. So what the judge was saying, I could say at this point, was false and misleading. He is trying to protect these criminals, which is a felony. And I don't care if he's listening to this now. technically, I disqualified him. I filed for my objections to him presiding over these my trial to disqualify him for cause. He was qualified for cause before that the last hearing started on August 28, 2023. He hasn't given a ruling on that yet. Next week, I'm going to try to compel him to either get off the case or give a ruling on that. But technically now, he has no more jurisdiction over this trial. And he's violated my constitutional rights to due process, plus of other rights that have been violated, including civil rights. So now the other issue is that this court reporter, Wanda, originally I had agreed to split the fees for the court reporter because you have to pay for a court reporter now for probate trust litigation. And you have to pay to get the copies of the transcripts. So I had agreed to split that with my sister's attorney. This is Daniel Herbert. About the third hearing of the trial, I was asking her to get copies of the transcripts. And she would act like, oh, she doesn't know what I'm talking about and what I don't know what you want to order and what days you want. And I said, okay, well, just give me all of them. And she said, okay, well, send me a payment. I said, okay, how do I get you a payment? She said, well, mail it in. I said, well, mail it in where? And she wouldn't tell me. And I said, well, do you have Zelle? I can pay for it right now. I can bring you a check. I said, I'll bring you a check. And she goes, nothing. So I had filed to get my own court reporter. So I think it was about the third trial or maybe the fourth trial. They sent in another court reporter who actually did a very good job. And that was the one that I got at least that day from the hearing, from her in her transcript. So I used that as evidence against this judge to remove him for cause, which I filed with the court. And he should have gotten it by now. He should have seen that. But I got that transcript from that court reporter like two or three days after that trial, which is almost 100 pages. And she did an excellent job with that transcript. It was very accurate. And actually, just that one day, I have enough evidence to put all of them in state prison. And I'm going to say that. I know the judge will disagree with that and act like he's God. But what they're doing is criminal. And I'm not going to back down on that. I hope they play that in trial. I hope they play this podcast in trial. Because that is the truth. That is the law, which they are just ignoring and trampling on. So the judge shut down the whole trial on the 28th. And I offered to pay. Now, for the last trial on 828, they brought in the court reporter that's connected with my sister's lawyer. And I offered to pay her right then and there. She said, no, you get the transcripts from my sister's lawyer. I said, I don't trust them. It's a bunch of criminals. I want a certified copy from you. And she refused to take my payment, and we've been going around and around on that ever since. So I do not know when I will get the transcripts or if they will be accurate. I did take extensive notes, so I will see if crucial things have been left out. But it should be three, 4 or 5 days of court trial testimonies, which would be like 500-600 pages just for the transcript. So we will see. And I'm just about out of time here. It looks like I got about 8 minutes left. I wanted to touch on this legal abuse syndrome. This is something I found actually years ago by this Dr. Karen Hoffer. I had tried to register for the training to be a court advocate, and they never contacted me. I never talked to anybody from them. Tried to get a court advocate for this trial. Couldn't find one anywhere. So I don't know what's going on with this particular lady. She has a website up. I have that on my notes there on my blog. But what she's saying here, I think, is valid. And I'll read this to you. As a marriage and family therapist with over 30 years of experience, Dr. Karen Hoffer identified in 1995 that extreme stress caused by our adversarial courts of law exacerbates health problems and can even cause PTSD and anxiety disorders, which I experienced extensively at the beginning of this trial. In response, she developed a healing 8-step protocol tackling prevention and recovery. The condition legal abuse syndrome is a chronic psycholegal, I love that, post-traumatic stress disorder. That's what I'm experiencing. LAS complicates the victim's ability to adequately defend him or herself against further assault or to effectively fight for rights at a moment when the victim's most needs their creative powers. And I agree with that 100%. I think she's accurate with that. I would like to continue to develop that. I want to be an ADA advocate. I feel that I'm very well qualified for it. And I am trying to set up a support group for the victims of the probate courts, which I call DOMATA. And it's been pretty hard because there's no resources. People are contacting me all the time from various places in the country, not just California. I get people from California quite a bit asking for help. And the main complaint is that they don't trust the lawyers. The lawyers are ineffective. And the judges are prejudiced against them or biased against them. And I cannot recommend one lawyer or law firm so far. So it's really hard to set up a support group. That's the main thing to address the symptoms of this legal abuse. It's being caused by the corruption in the courts. And the government should be providing some type of law enforcement agencies to stop that, but they're not. So it has really been difficult. Basically, all we can do is try to cope with the symptoms and watch things being stolen and wasted from our parents' estates and our inheritance, or even have our parents thrown off into conservatorship and abused horrendously. That's traumatic, and that's pretty hard to deal with as a therapist. So I've been focusing on trying to lobby the local government to actually set up resources for my support group and resources for self-represented litigants in the court system. That is one of the biggest problems there. The Los Angeles Superior Courts is the largest trial court system in the country. It has a budget of like $855 million. That's almost $1 billion. But yet, it hardly has any resources for people that can't afford attorneys. And the problem with these attorneys is that they want these, what I call corporate prices. Because you go to an attorney to take your probate case, oh, they want $5,000 just for a retainer. And if you have to go to a trial, oh, man, $10,000, $20,000 or more. The last lying lawyer I had on my case, Todd Cardiff, messed up one proceeding against me for vexatious litigant. The main thing he did not do is to get the judge off that case, which was Judge Anna Maria Luna. She got kicked out of Department 11 after I filed extensive complaints against her. But she took that case, that particular case. He should have filed to have her removed for cause, but he didn't. And so we went to the hearing on the motion, and I got jacked with this vexatious litigant. But it didn't work like they wanted to, because I can still file in this probate case because it's existing litigation. And I started litigation back in 2004. And it's justified. I have ample evidence of millions of dollars that have been stolen from this trust. So I can still file. They can't stop me from doing that. My sister's lawyer is trying to stop me from getting any kind of relief for the crimes that he's committed along with my sister. And his law firm is liable for it also. So this lawyer goes, and so after Judge Luna gives his ruling for vexatious litigant, he says, well, I told him to file for a notice of appeal was the first thing. And he goes, about 2 or 3 weeks later, he comes back. He didn't file a notice of appeal. I had to do it myself. Then he comes back and says, well, after reviewing your possible appeal, I see there's no way that you could win. And this is not something I want to take, but if you want me to do the appeal, I want $100,000. I'm just about out of time. I only got about 56 seconds left. I will continue reports about my corrupt trial, even if they try to use this evidence against me. Again, I'm trying to protect others from coming into or being traumatized by the probate courts in Los Angeles or any place else in this country. My name is Ernest Moore. This is my E.L. Moore Journal series that I've created. And again, this is September the 3rd, 2023, just before Labor Day. And I have 10 seconds left, and I am signing off. Thank you.
You can now hear my podcast, read my blog posts, and see my videos on my new website that I am building at tjcla.com. I am also on Facebook at facebook.com/Ernest.more.3538.